This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I don't know. I feel pretty sweaty already. I'm not sure how it's going to go.
Oh, yeah. All that screen sharing really got me kind of bothered. I can't look back from all those things that I saw.
My family chat about the workout tomorrow. My dad, don't worry, can't do it. But he does say he's been exercising pretty hard every day, so he could use a couple days to heal up.
What's he been up to?
I don't know. Lifting pianos, other things that dads do.
Chasing other dads.
Punch the GM.
Is it rude to talk during it?
Punch the GM.
Hey, shy folks.
Welcome to Punch Up the Jam.
Who wants to get shy today?
I'm going to just say right at the beginning, today's going to be fucked up. It's going to be a fucked up episode.
I just got shivers hearing you say it. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think you did because you're here. So therefore, obviously, that is the case.
Imagine hearing someone say that to you. Someone close to you say, listen up, today's going to be fucked up. Hey, get out of bed. Today's going to be fucked up.
I just want to be honest. I'm trying to foster a community of honesty here at Punch of the Jam Studios, which is why I'm having you back, because you keep things realer than... who keeps things real? The Wizard of Oz does the opposite of that.
Yeah. I think that's the wrong.
You know him as Chris Fleming. Ladies and gentlemen and everybody else, it's Chris Fleming.
Get her out of here. Hurt her feelings. Chase her out of town.
Chris, thank you so much for coming back.
Get her a rental car. Thanks so much for having me back.
I don't know how I would be doing this show without you at this point. I think you are my lifeline. You are the door and I am...
Marissa,
what's her name? Rose.
Marissa, how much tears can my mic take right now?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Chris, would you mind really quickly explaining to everybody how today's episode's going to be a little bit different?
Well, you asked me. Miel asked me. If I could do the research, because you basically locked me in the Library of Congress.
It's called blackmail. It has a name.
Stairs watching your old vines.
I'm so happy also that you're back again to discuss an artist that, as I understand it, is one of your all-time faves, Kate Bush, correct?
I love Kate Bush. I love a startling figure.
I need you to explain Kate Bush to me because I don't know how, but this is a figure in the zeitgeist that has completely escaped my entire personal history. Until clipping this song today, I have not known this song. I have not really known her catalog. Mm-hmm. I have not known her impact on music and how many people were so obviously inspired by her. It's incredible. I don't know anything about her. Can you please tell me about her?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like a German Shepherd. I love a job. Give me a task so I can feel okay. I'm glad you asked me. Kate Bush, I think the best way to describe her, she's kind of like the Maria Bamford of pop music, I think. Like, you're going to list her as an influence to sound cool, but you don't want to be stuck in an elevator with her.
Oh, really? She seems cool from what I saw in this music video.
But there's nothing casual about Kate Bush. Like, you invite her to a party and she shows up eating fennel. Says nothing to anybody and flirts with a tree. You know? She shows up riding a giant dog, like Princess Mononoke style.
I'm so happy you mentioned a giant dog because I tried not to do any research. I really want to make sure that you were the captain of this episode.
The captain?
You're the captain here, and I need you to steer the ship because, again, I'm adrift on a boat. Wait, what? A door.
I'm going to tack. Ready to tack? Tack ho.
Listen, I saw this video of Big Boy
saying
that Kate Bush, he's obsessed with Kate Bush, and he's obsessed with specifically this song. And it was an incredible video in which he said he imagines her in some kind of castle sitting at a piano that's like 10 times bigger than a regular piano with like the open windows blowing the like linen drapes in the breeze while she just like hammers out these tunes.
Yeah, like the Phantom of the Opera. I love it. And he says that he used to bike to this song when he was a kid.
And it made him pedal faster.
Yeah, that video is like so soothing to me.
I can't believe I missed her, especially too, because she's such an icon in terms of like producing her own records and like really creating new sounds. Like, I know I wasn't supposed to do any research, but unfortunately, the second I heard that whimp, 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 I was like, okay, what the fuck is that tone? It's like
that's the Loch Ness Monster that she sampled. Can't you see her snorkeling in Loch Ness?
there is like a weird familiarity to it that I was like, have I heard this before? And I looked it up and there's this incredible website called Reverb Machine. I'm obsessed with it. I can't believe I've never heard of it before. But this, I don't know whoever this author is. Sorry, I don't know their name. They figured out that it's a Fairlight CMI synth, and that specifically the sample she's probably using is a cello patch. Listen to this.
Don't you use that as a vape, Mia? The Fairlight? What was that?
That's the cello patch, cello 2 from the Fairlight synth. But then if you add some reverb to it, listen to this.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Right? Oh my God. And then this author, again, I wish I'll add their name in post. Dan Carr is his name. Dan Carr. They then went on to loop a portion of it and then ran it through more reverb to help mask the loop, added the EQ, and created a low cut at 700 hertz to brighten the sound. So now check out how similar this sounds to the track we're about to listen to. Isn't that crazy? Just that's like insane. Absolutely reverse engineering how she made it. I guess she's been kind of like tight-lipped about exactly how she did it, because I would assume she doesn't want people to steal her production secrets.
That's right. But like, and Fleetwood Mac did, for well, at least for the drum beat for Big Love, and as did I for Sick Jan. And she would like go completely off the grid, I guess. And she, for this one, she built her own studio. Like, and I imagine it
for this whole album. What is it called? Hounds of Love.
That's what my dad calls his legs.
Sting wishes. She also, like, I can't believe how contemporary this sounds considering it came out in 1985. Like, I think that effectively even just listening and clipping this song has already turned me into a Kate Bush stan. Like, I already feel it's very unlikely there will be a punch up on this episode because it feels like sheer perfection, to quote Mary Berry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, I'm surprised. I think that Kate Bush kind of appears to you in your life when you need Kate Bush. Like, for me, it was like a long road. Like, it was my introduction to this song, unfortunately, as a classless young dipshit from Massachusetts, was through the hit show The OC after Marissa Cooper died in like a hot tub accident or like a crabbing accident. And we see our protagonist, Ryan Atwood, getting into some kind of cage fighting lifestyle to cope with losing her. So we see him in like an abandoned Lake Lady footlocker getting ready to go at it. And then they play a grimy cover of Running Up That Hill by a band called Placebo.
Placebo covered Kate Bush.
Placebo did, yeah. And it's one of those songs, in the words of Jeff Bridges in the film Crazy Heart, that it's just too good, it can't be fucked up.
Your references today are really painting yourself as someone whose like favorite restaurant is a
Buca de Beppo.
Qdoba. Like, yeah, it's like, it's very confusing right now. But I'm glad at least that you found a reference that introduced you to Kate Bush.
Did you say Qdoba? Yeah. You leave that at the door, Matt.
What other research do you have for me?
I think you did a lot of good stuff there, Miel. I mean, so, okay, it's called, she built her own studio after doing, I think this is her fifth album, right? I imagine like a meadowlark building a nest, you mm-hmm. know, and I could see her making it out of things that she pickpocketed from British gentry, you know.
Perfect.
And she wanted to be called A Deal With God, which is the parenthetical, and she still sees that as the title. But the producers were afraid that it wouldn't get played in religious countries like Italy, Australia, Ireland. And it pissed her off so much that she briefly changed the weather patterns in Northern England, but felt bad and changed them back.
Okay. Marissa, before, just so you know, before.
That's not, okay, sorry. The rest is fact.
Before you joined the Zoom, I told Marissa, I let Chris do the research today, and she said, I already have no idea what's going to be true and what's going to be bullshit. That was the first thing Marissa said.
Yeah, I'm Rumpelstiltskin. So, have you seen the music video, Mariel?
I watched the first 1 minute.
Oh, wow. You weren't impressed.
I lost interest because I started thinking about those pants and I was like, I'd like to own a pair of pants like that. And then I started looking up clothes online.
Okay. You know who else lost interest? MTV. You know why? Because there was no lip syncing in the video, Miel. It was contact improv, which is something that I did a lot in college. Now, contact improv is something you do with your friends where you kind of fling your body at your friends in a desperate way.
That's also just called A Night with Miel anywhere in the world. That was funny. And that was where you laugh because it was really funny what I said.
Oh, I was. Okay, wait. I'm going to laugh. Say it again.
Okay. That's also what you call just A Night with Miel anywhere in the world.
Yippee! Want to hear about my improv dance final? What I did for the final?
Nope, stay on topic. You got this. You're doing so good.
It's supposed to be 10 minutes, and I left the room after 2 minutes, and I went back to my dorm, and I took a nap, but I got an A from my bold whimsy for exiting the space and never coming back.
Okay. You're the fucking Francis Mallman of Skidmore dance program. Okay, keep going.
So, yeah, the music video is this incredible. It's in a church. And the song itself, which I guess we're going to get to, but she says it's about, and it's been misinterpreted a lot, but it's about the difficulties in a relationship that a man and a woman have specifically, and how wonderful it would be if you could make a deal. As she was writing it, she was like, should I talk about making a deal with the devil or God? And she said, oh, why not? I'll make it about God. And then it was about how great it would be if you could swap places. So it's like
Freaky Friday with your boyfriend. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so there's like a lot of really cool contemporary modern dance.
Their bodies reflect the words. Is that what you mean to say?
In like a fuchsia church. Yeah. But then, okay. It's
fuchsia
really...
church is my drag name.
I know. I saw your desktop.
I'm actually a drag king. Not many people know that about me. I don't dress up. It's more of just an energy. Keep going.
Ooh, it's fun to derail, isn't it, Miguel? Mm-hmm.
It is. I really enjoy this.
I see you coming alive. Are you smoking 2 cigarettes right now? Okay. Patty Bush, her older brother, now this is like you, is on the balalaika on this. So when you're listening and you're like, who's playing that balalaika? Patty Bush.
I have never heard of that instrument. It's called a balalaika?
Yeah, of course, neither have I. I'm joking. I would not be listening to this and say, who's playing that balalaika? I was being facetious when I said that. But Patty Bush is on the balalaika. And this was the first single off Hounds of Love, and arguably the most known Kate Bush song.
I hate that you're reading from an article.
I'm not. No, that was in my head. That last part was in my head. The reason I panicked was I was like, is Wuthering Heights? I think that might not be true, but I think it is. I'm so nervous having to actually tell espouse information.
To be like the straight man in the scene?
Yeah, it's not easy.
I know. It sucks, doesn't it?
It's a prison.
That's why I'm like, if you're not my co-host, what's the point of this podcast anymore? Imagine like doing this imagine even trying to be critical of music right now. Like, that's not what the world needs in this moment.
There's a 12-minute extended version of this song.
What?
On YouTube. Yeah, I've been getting really into extended versions during quarantine of things.
It already is a pretty long song. It's almost like 5 minutes long.
It's one of my top five.
Well, you want to start listening to it?
Oh, I'd love to.
Hey, Chris, really quick before we get there?
Yeah.
You did really good with those notes. You did a really good job with those notes. And I'm really proud of you for stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Hey, Mia.
Huh?
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a synth militia coming at you, like little Fife boys with Lynn drums. Are you okay?
No, not at all.
You want to talk about it?
That there's something that happened.
Is it related to this?
Yeah, it's
where
I would say it's like right behind my eyeballs, but also a little bit like inside the deepest corner of my ears when this comes on.
There's something going on in my body.
Something that's my happens impression, to my body when this song comes on.
When this second chorus comes on, something goes on in my body.
Chris, I dare you to talk about 178 songs and not eventually realize you always have the same ways of explaining what it does to you. Because it is true. This song comes on and I kind of feel like I'm put in this like, yeah, there is something oddly threatening, but otherwise there is kind of like a lullablaic effect on my body.
Something changes in my body. Yeah, it's like I think what you're describing is being radicalized. I think that this song could radicalize you.
Yeah, I think that if it was like old timey times and there was like an army recruiter in town and they had like a cool beret and they were playing this song, I would sign up. Like, I don't know who we're going to war with. I guess probably the like lack of empathy is who we're fighting.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Yeah. We're fighting sociopathy.
We're like love soldiers.
Oh, my God. Oh my, you're so right.
And our only objective is to win understanding across the gender divide. Folks.
Yes.
Boom, 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 yes. Boom, 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 it's like we're going to war, but like with our own inability to relate to our fellow man.
It's very warlike.
But then just, then that synth and the, not just the solo, the whoop, 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 but then the like
the car alarm.
Hum, yeah. Like it reminds me of
it's
something.
Like a bullfrog impression. Can you do that? The gum.
No. Why did I try? Why did I try?
What's your thing? You're like, it's like you're you have this incredible ability, but you can only do it if you've heard it within 12 seconds or
yeah,
something.
I'm really good with impressions, but only when I've immediately heard it. Within 30 seconds, it's out of my head. The half-life on my impression ability is very short.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard you do it with really, really frightening accuracy about like seagulls, men.
Men.
Vehicles.
Men are pretty easy to impersonate, but only specifically the men from Sopranos, which unfortunately I have fallen victim to watching, and that is that you just go, take it easy! Okay, so then Kate comes in off of her rope swing from the deep jungle, and she says...
She comes out of the deep end. It doesn't hurt me. Yeah, oh. Yeah. Do you wanna feel?
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
Have you ever seen Kate Bush at this during this era? Oh yeah, you watched the video. She's like, she is unbelievably alluring.
Yeah, she's not from this planet. There's something very special about this woman. I think a crush that transcends crushdom and actually goes into a little bit of like single white female region. I want to be her, I think, is what I'm really saying.
Yeah, just spend enough time in a Renaissance fair.
What she said. It doesn't hurt me. Do you want to know how it feels? Do you want to know that it doesn't hurt me? Do you want to hear about the deal that I'm making? You. It's you and me.
Like, as ominous as what you said this morning.
What did I say this morning?
Today's going to be fucked up, guys. Hey, gang.
I'm telling you, this is the recruiting table, and they're like, the way they get you is that they're wearing very cool berets, like in a color you would not expect, like a mustard beret. And they're smoking something. It's not weed. It's not a cigarette. It's some kind of herb that has yet to be discovered. It can be smoked. Like they're smoking
They're smoking fennel. Yeah.
Yes. Fennel. I think you hit the nail on the head with that. And she's like,
thanks.
She's like quietly talking and you walk by and you hear her and you're like, sorry, are you talking to me? And she's like, don't hear about the deal that I'm making. And you're like,
yeah.
What?
Oh, are you talking to me? Yeah.
Sorry, talking to me. And then the drums are like boom, 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 and you're like, I mean, yes, actually, I really do.
Is that coming out of your Mazda? Okay, yeah, yeah.
And does the deal have anything to do with like Poshmark and that mustard beret? Because I would love to get in on that. And like, I want to figure out. Maybe a listener is more astute than me. I've been singing it all morning, and I cannot place it. I feel like it might be a Lady Gaga song. Who ripped off the What is that?
Well, I think it's what the sound that my dad makes when he fucks up golfing. The yo, he goes, yo, Joe. It goes, yeah, yeah, yo. That's what I think when I hear it. My parents are like Pokemon when they golf. My dad messes up. He goes, Joe, you jerk. And my mom goes, Nancy. Nancy, Joe.
Oh, my God. Whoo, that's very funny. Well, I really do, if anyone can tell me whatever pop song it is from recent history that just blatantly ripped up the because that's...
I think everyone just rips off Kate Bush.
No, that's... And even in the same key, that specifically is from a recent song. It's fucking not coming to my brain.
It's like, driving me crazy, and if you could all just give me a second to think.
So it turns out the answer was Lady Gaga's Just Dance.
And then she gets straight into the chorus after telling us literally nothing but having my full attention. If only could, I'd make a deal with God, and I'd get him to swap places, be running up that
you know, this is like, oh, sorry, you go. You go.
You go.
I've never, I'm just realizing like this, it would be a real dance floor clearer. Like, but I feel like I've been robbed of a life having never heard this on the dance floor at any
time. Well, it would only be freaks like you and me who would be dancing.
Yeah, it's like a real salve for, or prid for freaks. Like they're gonna come out and they're gonna come out of the woods. But
if you and I threw a party, everyone would love it. Anywhere else in the world, this would bomb on a dance floor. It's too slow and it's structurally it's not enough happens. Like I will say, if I could offer one Kate Bush criticism from the few songs that I've heard, and I've really not heard that many. It does seem that she kind of, in terms of like blowing up a song dynamically, she does like kind of play it in the pocket a bit more than most like mainstream artists that I've heard anyway. Like she doesn't have like a huge chorus or like a, you know, a big break in the instrumental. It seems like she kind of gets a singular groove and like you hope you like it because that's what you're getting for the next 4 minutes.
You know what's, oh, sorry, go on.
I think it works. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just don't think it would kill on a dance floor.
I think with the right kind of criminally insane people, it would, which is kind of the party that I'd want to throw with you if we were to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yo.
If I only could, I'd make a deal with God and I'd get him to swap our places, be running up that road, be running up that hill. And then this is the part I want to comment on. Be running up that building.
Oh yeah.
Up until this point, I was like, "No, I am good. I am gonna worry about that. I am very worried about that because at this point, I'm like,
she can do this.
The deal with God is that you want to switch with your boyfriend so you can learn how to empathize with each other better without having to explain yourselves, and also get a Spider-Man ability while we're talking about it.
Well, her boyfriend is a parkour master.
Do you mean Peter Parkour, aka Spider-Man?
Oh my God. My building's shaking.
Folks, I think I have to end the podcast. I think this is our last episode, and this is the last 5 seconds. Good night, everybody.
Peter Parkour.
But imagine she was like, hey, God, I'd love to make a deal. It's just one request and then one addendum to that request. I just want to switch with my boyfriend because I think that, like, I don't know. I think, like, men and women would understand each other a lot better if we could, like, walk in each other's shoes for a bit and, you know, get to know their bodies a little and then also just quietly, me personally, Kate Bush, I'd love to be able to run up buildings. I feel like probably in reality, that's her exposing that she does have that ability. Like if anyone quietly has like a very insane secret ability, like it's definitely Kate Bush.
Yeah, the way she wedges it in, like it's like
casual.
It's like one of those. Yeah, it's like accidentally thinking something's really relatable, but no, that's just something for, that's just what you do. But yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, she's running up skyscrapers. Yeah.
Just vertical, straight up. That visual is so funny to me. I apologize. I'm sure no one else enjoys this.
But you know, when I saw LCD Sound System and I saw Karen O open for them, I'm pretty sure after her set, she was shimmying up the flagpole behind the Hollywood Bowl stage. So I feel like, and they have very similar energy.
It's all in the verbs. Shimmying. Okay, one hand over the other. Running up a building.
So you mean starting, facing a building, running, grinning, running at it, and then not just breaking stride degrees. And just turning 90 degrees and just giddily running up it. Yeah, yeah,
how
she could do
that.
How
fast do you have to go and how far could you get?
It's mostly a confidence thing. Like you could do it, you could jog it.
So you said Kate Bush wanted the parenthetical after running up that hill to be a deal with God, but I think the true parenthetical is quickly.
She wanted to be called a deal with God, then in parentheses, by the way, I, Kate Bush, can run up buildings.
I got hella sticky toes, y'all.
Yeah, I run up my friends' homes. I run up residences and restaurants.
Oh my God.
Kris Kringle doesn't know shit. I'm Kate Bush. I don't know why she brought Chris C into it.
Kris Kringle.
Oh, Kris Kringle goes down chimneys? I run up them.
Put some respect on the name Father Christmas.
Okay.
Okay. Wow, this is so deranged. I apologize to the state of Kate Bush and all of the
kind of sounds like the Christmas King almost. Yeah.
Kate Bush, the Christmas King. And then, wow, actually, sidebar, I'm sure if Kate Bush celebrates Christmas, she's got to be the best to spend Christmas with, right?
She runs up a building and screams, I'm the Christmas King.
Imagine the Christmas Eve celebration with Kate Bush. The rituals that Kate Bush must have around Christmas time. I have such a limited knowledge of Kate Bush. I only recently discovered even who she is and what she's done. And already I know there's no Christmas Eve, like a Christmas Eve in Kate Bush's castle.
I could see Kate Bush still G-chatting people.
There's some like rattly thing. Do you hear that? Just like circulating in the mix.
Yeah, that's Patty Bush from the Balalaika. I think that her studio actually, I think she is playing living things.
The hooves, I told you.
What are you saying? Are you saying hooves?
Hooves, yeah. She has like a collection of hooves.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I'm not
bison.
Joking. When my dad built out the studio that is in my parents' barn, my dad for some reason focused his energy on like eclectic percussion instruments.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Including one was just a hubcap with like yeah. some
Seems
springs.
Like
yeah, and you just would like brush it and be like, and you're like, wow, what a cool texture. He had a rain stick for sure, which I think still is in there.
One
and
is
then,
just his friend Mark from work.
Mark just lives in the barn.
He just drums on him.
And then my favorite, but also positively the most haunted, bear in mind I'm like 8 years old, how sinister this is to find among like a box of mallets.
Okay.
I don't even know what creature these are from, but it's like a bunch of tiny feet that are
Fuck
like,
off.
I'm not joking. It's like tiny, tiny hooves.
Your dad, I just see right now doing the wrap it up. Do not talk about this. Can't have these. These are not okay.
I know I criticized Kate Bush earlier for like kind of finding a pocket and then staying in it for the duration of the song, but when you have a pocket this good, I kind of am all for it. Like that drum, I love the real drum and like how much, I mean, it kind of hurts my heart. Like I feel like I'm having a heart palpitation every time that big one kicks in.
Have you ever driven while listening to the song?
No, I told you I'd never heard this song until I just clipped it for this episode.
It's so wild because you seem like someone that would be very like influenced by Kate Bush.
My house literally only played Tom Waits, Sting, James Taylor.
Yeah, the classic Tom Waits and Sting.
I really think the only like women I heard in my like early years was like a tiny bit of Bonnie Raitt and like a little bit of Annie
Carly
Lennox.
Simon.
No, I didn't hear that until way later.
Really?
Yeah, the patriarchy runs deep, my man. We don't really have the same respect for female artists that we do, man. You know what I'm saying?
For me, it was all Celine Dion and Phantom of the Opera. That was my one, too.
And I think that's the difference between me and you.
Yeah.
I'm going to also add to the mix, your bones are long and skinny and mine's are short and squats.
Oh, do you think that might be an audio diet?
What?
You think I got stretched out by Andrew Lloyd? And you got shrunken by Tom W? By Sting.
Well, the moon is broken.
Come on. Okay, I'm done. We're playing verse two. You don't want to hurt me.
Asunder.
There is thunder in our hearts.
Oh, you just... Oh. Your cut was so unsatisfying to me.
I know. I'm trying to figure out how to break it up because if I just play us like, you know, a minute, 50 seconds, are we really doing Kate's service or are we just kind of doing that for us? You know what I mean?
Mm.
Although I will say I did clip the last minute and 50 seconds of the song, so we have that to look forward to.
I'm so excited for we'll get to that later.
She keeps throwing in, like as much as she kind of did keep the maybe like, you know, repetition in there of like a lot of these motifs. She also throws in a lot of new ones as the song goes. Like I love these background vocals and the way they kind of are like ebbing and flowing as the song progresses. It feels so, I don't know. I think Big Boy even pointed that out in his video of like how there's always something new to keep your interest.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's such a potpourri.
And then also a word like asunder, which I think
I've only heard that in like right out of Quaig's mouth in Moby Dick. I don't think it's often used in pop
music.
Okay,
you cannot. I'm going to have to put like a firm rule on the table. In the same episode, you may not and you will not reference the OC and Moby Dick in the same hour. You simply
sure
can't.
Sure you can. Sure you can. Did you... Okay, when you said that, like how she uses asunder in pop music, like that's wild. Like her being
accessible. Like she, Kate Bush, like could not happen now in the same way that like Christopher Walken couldn't happen now. Like there's like the kind of door closed on a certain type of freakdom, I think. And her concerts that I think she stopped doing because they were so stressful. They had like each song had a full set.
Yeah. I just read that like in recent history, she did a puppet show for like 22 nights. And it sold out every single night and every single person. And I think it was like a whole perform. Like she seems like she's truly, like you just said, like a freak of a bygone era that we really don't have space for in culture anymore. So unfortunately.
Yeah. Like so uncompromising, I think. And
I really respect her.
Oh my God. Me too. Especially at the time. It's just like, oh my God.
That's so fucking rare nowadays. I almost feel like you have to go back to this era to find that now.
I Googled her net worth one night after I had boba too late. And I was just like doing shit like that. And I think she's doing all right.
I Googled her net worth after I had boba too late.
you know that shit's like where all of a sudden you're like, you're like, I'm just like wandering my property, like running my hand along the wall, which is something I'd never done, you know? And you're like, oh, I wonder where Carol Burnett went to college. I wonder I wonder Kate Bush's net worth.
I get it. I mean, listen, I think
her
really
net worth isn't mostly like, it's mostly knickknacks and sundries, I think, is where most of her value is.
I want to also comment really quickly. It's funny that this song is kind of a commentary on like being able to understand each other as like men and women, because I think like speaking about the gender binary, you're being like, I drank boba too late and I Googled Kate Bush's net worth. Personally, I just stayed up too late being depressed and I looked up James Gandolfini's death and I got really sad. So
wow.
I think we're really doing a lot to like
change things up.
Say no to gender roles.
that should be swapped. Yeah, I shouldn't be bouncing around the house thinking about Carol Burnett. I should be thinking about the Dolph.
Back to Kate Bush. What she said was, you don't want to hurt me, but see how deep the bullet lies. Unaware, I'm tearing you asunder. Oh, there's so much thunder in our hearts. It's like, it's simultaneously like song lyrics and also like a monologue before you die. Like there's something really poetic and sad about it.
But her like the imagery, like this with that, with the really harsh sound of it all. And then like talking about like her acknowledging like that she understands like what a gun is. Like it's very weird.
That Kate Bush exists in the same universe as a gun.
It doesn't make sense. Like I see bow and arrow at best, maybe a trebuchet, but under like.
I'm playing the next clip.
Bye. Is there so much hate for the ones who love? Love that line.
I think also something I haven't said yet or even maybe thought yet. How many songs do you know where...
Period.
Why are you laughing? Oh, that's the question. How many songs do you know?
I want to walk up to someone and ask a good icebreaker. How many songs do you know?
In which the protagonist is like, hey, I really wish you could see how you hurt me.
Right, right.
And
how did I hurt you?
How did I hurt you?
That's what, like, that's what I was just thinking.
Accepting culpability and like portraying it as this ambiguity where it's like, hey, we've both said some things. There is some real maturity and nuance to that that most songs I don't think we get.
Most people don't have that. It's never like, it's always like, oh, it's like, usually it's like a spiteful song, like what you did to me. Or like,
right.
Like,
or like a regretful song of what I did to you. But to like, have
what
it
we
be
do
so
to each
honest.
Other?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. It's just stunning. Yeah. And also like...
Yeah, I mean, I see us as love soldiers, honestly.
Stop. I regret everything I've ever said. And I've unfortunately recorded all of it and then subsequently published it. So sadly...
No, I was thinking that exact thing when you were playing that. Like, wow, this person is very, very evolved.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, I don't know if I want to love her or be her. Like, I just became introduced to her and already I'm firmly on board.
And this is like performative justice or whatever. What do you call it?
Oh, like virtue signaling?
Virtue. Yeah, this is pre that. She's not.
I don't know about pre virtue signaling.
She's
but maybe
not trying
online.
To get laid on Twitter. Yeah. she's just like this.
Yeah.
I need to pause there. Eo! Like, it sustains on that note for like three times as long as you think it's going to.
Yeah, yeah. That's just a bunch of skaters seeing each other for the, after winter break.
I'm regretful to say I... Uh-oh. Rob Moose... I'm so sorry about this. This is totally fucking my fault. Rob Moose is not going to be on this episode because I fucked up and did not give him enough time whatsoever between taping and releasing. And I am really sad about it for this moment specifically, and also just in general, because I love his contributions to the pod. He generally, like, genuinely makes it so much better. But I want to know what's happening sonically, because there is something that's both so comforting and so puts me on edge about EO, like the way it doesn't want to resolve. Hey, listen to it again. Right here. There, finally resolves. There's something like really unsettling about that. That like she, I don't know. I almost feel like she's keeping us engaged with tension.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and it's about to fucking break at this next part.
Okay, I'll keep playing.
Wait, maybe not. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's coming. Yeah, this is by far. This is like the car crash moment for me.
Unfortunately, I did clip it there.
No.
Okay, so all I'll tell you right now between these two clips, okay? You said that's your car crash moment.
My legs. No. The car crash is about to happen.
I know. So before I crash this car, can we please make sure your seatbelt is buckled? Here we go. Come on, baby. Come on, darling. Let me steal this moment from you now. Come on, angel. Come on, darling. Let's exchange the experience.
Phil Collins coming in via fax. That art is her saying calling you darling, calling you angel. Oh my god. Oh, come on, baby. It's like suddenly like very fucking pillow talky and sexy of her.
When that huge fucking drum. Holy shit.
Oh, that's like, Phil. That's yeah. Phil. Yeah, that's Phil divorcing you via fax. That's how you know Phil's moving on. You get and she didn't want it, but he did it. He sent it while they were in the studio.
And also to wait how long in the song before bringing it. Like, you had the capacity for this sort of dynamic range and you were like, not giving it to you.
Yeah.
I hate to keep doing it, but it is the way my brain works. I think you know what I have to
say.
It's like showing everyone you can
juggle senior at graduation senior year.
Or... help me out here. So just say it for me so I don't have to say it.
I'm sorry, but it's edging.
It's edging. She's edging. This is such an edging anthem. This song, are you kidding? This is like up there within the air tonight in terms of edging anthems.
But that, I mean, don't you feel so good after that release?
I want to listen to it again.
It's like a funky rhythmic guitar too.
Yeah.
That's a tropical storm in Orlando at the end there. Yeah.
That is so fucking good.
It's so sexy.
That
it's like the sexiest
guitar in there. I did not notice until you pointed it out.
It gets funky.
It really does. And then how there's like this massive, massive drum hit. And then it continues with this like sound that just suddenly fades out. Oh my god, what, like I really just want to be in her brain to know.
No, because what else are you gonna see, you know? That's the thing, you don't just see this.
I think I have to take a break after hearing that. I'm in pain. Let's take a break and then we'll get to our last long chunk of the song.
Okay, good night. That stuff sounds pretty cool, Mio, that you were advertising.
Oh, that's how you're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Usually it's like a little less casual, but no, I like that. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you. Can you try it again one more time?
Welcome back, shy kids. Everyone feeling, who's feeling shy tonight?
Me! Me. Thanks, Marissa. I'm so excited to have you on mic for once, Marissa. Please, we do this for every episode. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
God damn it. This is the episode where I'm becoming radicalized by Kate Bush, and I have you to thank, Christopher Fleming.
Oh, you're very welcome, Mary L. B.
Thanks. Thank you for using my full name. So the last clip, I didn't know how to cut it up. I didn't want to do to you what I just did. So I just grabbed the whole last minute and 50 seconds since it's technically...
You didn't want to take the grapefruit spoon to this one?
No, of course I do. I love to upset you, but the problem is...
You know my fantasy, right? That I've told you. You asked me if I wanted to clip one time, and you know what I wanted to do.
What you want to do?
Full song.
That's why when we had Nicole Byer on, she just kept screaming that we kept stopping the song. I was like, I don't know how the format of this show would work if we just played this song in one fell swoop. We just are like,
that's just the radio.
Make
I think
sure
what you're
to listen pretty
the radio.
Carefully because we're going to talk about this afterward for 30 minutes.
I guess I wanted to do was say I had 10 clips and each clip was the song. You know
so
what I'm
again,
saying?
I don't know how to keep telling you. That's a gag that doesn't work on an audio platform. That's just
right.
Tedious.
But one guy in a cabin is going to hear that and it's going to change his life and he's going to re-enter society because of that. He's going to get a shave and a haircut. He's going to stop eating raw trout and he's going to get back into the game. He's going to get on the apps. He's going to swipe up.
So, with that said...
Hey, Marissa, I hear you giggling over there. Let's get Mike on the line.
Stop. This is just Chris demanding a laugh track.
Mike, yeah, that's, I need more laughs. Mike doesn't laugh, though. He just holds his mouth like Wendy Williams.
No one knows Mike, Chris. You can't reference the engineer of the podcast when we were doing this in studio six months ago.
Excuse me for trying to connect with my fellow.
This does kill with me.
Yeah, you're specifically Marissa. This will kill Marissa.
Yeah, do you understand? I am an individualized. I'm a clown that specifies.
That
I'm
had like, your stage taken away from you. I get it. No, I get it. What's a clown without an audience? I understand. I am sorry.
No, I'm saying I can personalize my clowning. I'm a door-to-door clown.
The last clip is a minute and 50 seconds. We can play the whole thing. You can tell me to stop, whatever. It's more of the same, but it's just pure mood, and I just wanted to give us the option.
I'm going to go to Office Max real quick, if that's cool. Is still here.
Okay, sorry. This is a lot. Have you
seen... She just
seen,
broke a 4x4 over something in that one.
Have you seen Scrooged? The Bill Murray, Dick Donner retelling of A Christmas Carol with Bobcat Goldthwait and a career high. Have you seen this movie?
I have never met someone... so into the A Christmas Carol, I don't think.
Yeah, unfortunately, I am a little obsessed. However, there is a scene in Scrooge where he sees the ghost of Christmas future in the elevator, and he tries to engage with a person. He can't see anybody, so he kind of pulls the robe aside, and it's just like this crazy, like Jim Henson-esque, like puppetry of like this abdomen with all these like ghouls trying to come out.
Oh, I love that.
That's exactly this sound. That's a lot of lost souls is what that is. I think that's God making the deal happen, and that's her spirit leaving her body while it becomes infused with her husband, boyfriend, fuck boy, man on the side, mistress,
apprentice,
whoever.
Obviously apprentice.
The whittler from next door, I don't know.
Yeah,
that feels really chaotic in a way that that I understand deeply. Yo, it's like, what does
it
sound
like?
Those
are her friends. She's doing something at a party that you can't even, that you don't even want to see. And that's her friends saying, oh, hey, no, Kate, put that down. Put that down.
She picked up a steel mace.
Hey, that's not for you. I mean, it seems like a very tumultuous relationship. And maybe if you look at like a relationship that is falling apart, you can't understand each other. Maybe she is seeing it like a battle.
Am I a pessimist, or is there like come a point in all relationships where it's like kind of hard to remember that, like, you need to understand each other?
Or you mean that the other person means well inherently?
Yeah, like I feel like once you get into some like negative grooves, like it's not necessarily a tumultuous relationship. It could also just be one that's like existed for a long time. But maybe I just am a believer that love is dead and a fallacy and that there is no God. Anyway.
That's so weird coming from a love soldier.
Haunted. Haunted. Let's get haunted.
Imagine that this happened in a haunted hayride.
Absolutely. That's how that's
this
all I'm
was
seeing.
The music that played when you went into the like really scary enclosed area where like men fell from the ceiling. It was just that electric guitar. Like Prince was working next door and the mics accidentally picked it up.
A man in like a goat's mask comes out and tickles you.
It always comes back to hooves with you.
Yeah, that's like really funny stuff. Like I don't say like
okay. I love when we both had moments in this episode where we've been so outraged we didn't get a laugh that we had to say that was really funny.
Come on, that was funny stuff. It's probably like, two people talking to each other.
Rock bottom.
Hey, come
insisting
on.
You're funny.
Hey, come on, where were you on that last laugh?
I'm ready for the next clip.
Dip-a-doo.
What a crazy groove to bring in at the last minute.
Right.
Oh my god. What? I've never heard this part.
That's her just putting a mic under her porch.
Are you kidding? This is a masterpiece.
Yeah, I know. It's the freaking best. It's new sounds. It's just left and right, new sounds.
But I need to listen to that fucking octave thing she did at the end, because I honestly didn't know. I'm so ignorant. I didn't know that
that
was
a
vocal thing people were doing before. I mean, like, that's so trendy now. Like, this is some Billie Eilish shit.
Right. Right, that like fucking up your voice.
Are you kidding? Yeah. Sample that now, and like that would be a number one. Like that is so fucking cool, and
well,
it's just this throwaway at the very end of this. I'm just, oh my god, I can't believe I didn't know about this. My whole life, I feel like Sally Field and Mrs. Doubtfire the whole time.
Yeah, I love that.
Chris, this is a gift. Wow, you are the Christmas king. This is a gift like honey, none other I've received.
This is a gift like honey. I think what's great about this song is that it's like, it's not really a good time. Like, it's not a social thing. Like, even listening, like, it's something, it's like not something that you go out, you don't go out to drinks with this song. You go to a sweat lodge for like 6 weeks.
Or with someone with whom you would describe your relationship as safe. That is
it. Exactly.
This is a really intense experience of a song.
It's super intense, yeah.
And I think you project all of your own feelings onto it. So like if you're going through something, or if you have ever gone through something.
I've never gone through something.
Personally, I'm still waiting to see what that's like. But I can really get a good picture of what to imagine from this song.
I'd like to go through something.
Honestly, going through this song feels like I just went through something, but through something very good. In fact, since I'm so fucking sorry I don't have Rob on this week. It's, again, totally my fault. I fucked up. Rob is a saint. He is a golden god. I promise.
Rocks.
I won't let this happen again. I'm sorry. But with that said, that means then it's time for the punch up. But we're not getting a punch up because... Marissa, this is where you play the Unpunchable Jam, please.
You can't punch this.
This is an Unpunchable Jam. Are you fucking kidding me? This song is a masterpiece. I don't know how she wrote it. I don't know how it's not still so popular. I don't know how I didn't know. It's just...
I feel like you'd also have to go to a bog to get the fucking karaoke version of this song. So
I don't know that I'd want to hear it karaoke.
No,
I think
it would feel really weird.
I don't think this song should be touched by anyone ever. This song should be preserved like the Mona Lisa behind 2-inch bulletproof glass with a velvet rope and 2 armed guards at all times. Like
doing a parody of this song, though, would be pretty funny because no one's asking for that. You know what I mean?
I think it would make me so upset. Like, even the premise.
Like, how would you do it? Yeah, it's
like running up that building is like pretty obvious. Like, if you just fucking
just
made
lifts
it all.
Buildings. Like, yeah. I want to run up that split level house. I want to run up that Tudor old style. Yeah. I want to run up the eHarmony headquarters in Westwood. Yeah.
There's a lot you could do to it. I'm not saying I don't have any ideas. I am saying I don't think I should. I think that you should not do that to this song.
Like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. What's this line? But did you ever? But did you ever stop to think that you just because you should doesn't ever? Did you ever? What is it? It's like just because you, you know what I'm saying. Just because you could doesn't mean you should do something, which I think is great.
So it's interesting that I feel like you took a very known phrase and then you were like, and it's a quote from a movie. And then because you were so desperately trying to find the quote, you like couldn't even just remember the actual premise of the phrase.
Hey, Marissa, could you disconnect my Zoom connection forever? Could you block me from...
Chris?
I don't... Yeah.
It's your turn for an unpunchable jam, my friend.
Mind this... Thank you for turning it to me, man.
You're welcome.
This week for my unpunchable jam, it's one that has been... really getting me cruising, and it's called Feeling So, and it's by Shea Coulee.
Shea Coulee!
Yes.
Didn't she just win? She did, right? I think she just won All Stars.
What's All Stars?
Drag Race. Do you not
know? Oh my God.
You don't know Shea Coulee is from Drag Race?
Oh my God.
You don't know this?
That is...
You just thought Shea Coulee was a recording artist?
Yes.
You knew her as a recording artist first and not as a drag queen?
Yes. Spotify just T-balled this into my pantry.
This is full circle. You showed me Kate Bush, which somehow I missed, and then you missed Shea Coulee. I got you.
This song just came at me like that's like Simon Birch's home run that killed his dad.
Stop.
Remember that movie? Remember, it's like,
remember that movie? Are you really pretending on my own podcast that I just didn't encourage you to remember that movie 2 weeks ago?
Oh, you're reminding me about Simon Birch?
I was like, hey, why haven't we thought about Simon Birch recently?
Oh, yeah. Because he murders his... And then they roll credits. It's like everything's going well and he hits a home run and it murders his dad, like the only man that's ever loved him. And everyone like boos him and it's like, you're a killer, Simon. And then it's like credits roll. And he's like, and like it's like a slow zoom on him, just like, no. It's just heavy stuff.
That's a resounding endorsement if I've ever heard one.
Chris, just listen to it. Yeah.
I can't thank you enough. This song's incredible.
It's incredible.
I can't get that like
yeah, there you go.
That's gonna be like quietly in the back of my mind, I think, until I die. I feel changed now. I'm different. And it's not just because I have a
my body.
Danny from The Shining's haircut. Like, something's changed in me now.
You do have a bit of a Danny Torrance look going on.
I have a full Danny Torrance haircut.
Yeah, you're about to go in 237.
Speaking of changes, Chris, are you coming on again? Are we, like, what's happening here? Are we ever going to formally discuss this, or we're just winging it every time?
I'm really unpredictable.
Yeah, that's why you like it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, I've been described
maybe,
as a butterfly.
So maybe you'll be on again. Maybe we'll fuck shit up. Maybe we'll keep riding this train, or maybe we'll simply never speak again.
Yeah, I mean, let's see if your Patreon can, you know, how they like it, and then and then if I get any Patreon hate mail, then you're probably never gonna hear from me again.
That's a great opportunity to mention this month on the Patreon. If you haven't subscribed already, I'm doing a mixtape. The premise this month is songs to make you seem cool when you play in front of other people or in the background of your Instagram stories or maybe on a road trip. We're still workshopping the exact title. But anyway, if you want to get that playlist, subscribe to the Patreon for $7
a
month.
Dig a hole to.
Oh, that's a good one. That should be next month. Honestly, at this point, I think those are the kind of tunes we're all ready for. Bury ourselves alive.
What about songs to watch a bird fight to with your neighbors?
Uh-huh. You should really consider getting on Patreon, Chris. It seems like you have a natural ability for it.
You don't like a sky feud?
Chris. Thank you. Marissa, thank you.
Hey, Marissa, you want to start a podcast called Punch Up the Jam with me?
Isn't that this podcast?
No, we're going to do another one. It's going to be different.
Is it related to birds?
Yeah, it's going to be an ornithologist nightmare. We rank birds.
See you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Bye now.
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.